Welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm Jesse Spector, and in addition to being your host on this show and at LockedOnYankees.com, you can find me writing sports business at DealBreaker, hockey at NewJerseyDevils.com, more baseball in the pages of Rockies magazine, and occasionally doing a bit of whatever at The Score, plus a hockey talk show on Lightning Power Play. In other words, I'm a freelance sports guy. Used to work at the Daily News and Sporting News. Now I'm doing this, and it'll be fun. Let's have fun, and boy, oh boy, was today fun. Today, as in yesterday, because I'm recording this, obviously, on Thursday night, the Friday show. This was opening day. This is our opening first post-game of the year, and we've got a lot to talk about with the first game of the year. It's also a mailbag day here at Locked On Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton, obviously, two home runs, and we got a lot to get into with Stanton. We'll get into that a little bit later on. First, I want to just kind of speak generally about the Yankees' 6-1 victory over the Blue Jays. And I should say that, you know, not every day is going to be a game recap kind of scenario here on Locked On Yankees, especially, you know, when it's night games or when it's especially on the West Coast. We're not staying up till 3 in the morning to record these things. So neither I nor the other hosts of this show are necessarily down for that. But, yeah, this was an afternoon game. Plus, it's special. It's opening day. We'll also be out at the home opener on Monday. So on Tuesday's show, you can look for a real special and exciting podcast. It's going to have three of us are going to be out at the park that day. I know for sure it'll be me, Larry Fleischer, and Gary Phillips will all be out at the ballpark, and I'm sure we'll all be involved in some fashion in putting that podcast together next Tuesday. Obviously, you'll also want to listen to the podcast on Monday, because, you know, why wouldn't you? So all good, and that's, you know, what you need to know about that. Right now, though, 6-1 Yankees over the Blue Jays, and it was, I think, as much as 6-1 tells you, I think that the 11-2 margin in hits also tells you quite a bit. One of those being a single by Curtis Granderson off of Luis Severino. The other one being the Kevin Pillar home run off of Dellin Betances. That's just one of those. And I know that, you know, Russell Steinberg, who wrote a really good piece for Locked On Yankees on Dellin Betances having a 15-2 strikeout to walk ratio in spring training, and the way that he seems to be better suited for this season to have put his control problems behind him. And I'll say this, you know, didn't walk anybody in his inning on opening day, so there's that. The home run that he gave up to Kevin Pillar, I think, was just a smart piece of business by Kevin Pillar. It's Betances coming out of the bullpen to start the eighth inning in what was, at the time, a 5-0 game for the Yankees. And, you know, what does Betances do? First, it's the first pitch he's throwing this season. So he wants to get himself off to a nice start. So he just tries to pump a fastball right down the middle. Not a lot of guys always swing at the first pitch. Kevin Pillar swings at the first pitch and puts it over the wall. I think that's just one of those where it's a smart piece of baseball to realize that you're dealing with a guy who had some control problems last year, wants to get himself off with strike one, new season, and here you go. He's just going to lay it in there, and that's what he did, and Kevin Pillar hit it. And that was really the one bad thing that happened for the Yankees all day. And, you know, to his credit, Betances bounced right back from it. He came back, and he faced three more batters, and he got them all out. Good for him. That's what you want to see, because he didn't fall into the trap of falling behind hitters. In fact, you know, he threw 13 pitches, 8 strikes, got out of that inning. And, you know, so after the first pitch homer, a 12-pitch inning. It's just fine. That's what you want to see. Luis Severino pitched great, 7 strikeouts, only 1 hit in 5 2/3 innings. They limited him to 91 pitches, which is, you know, kind of what you're looking for in your first start of the season. You're not looking to push a guy too hard, especially a young guy that you're going to count on to be the ace of this staff. And by the time that Severino came out of the game, he had really, you know, enough of a cushion there. It was 4-0 to hand it over to this Yankee bullpen that can be so dominant. Severino did walk 3, but, you know, you can deal with that. And especially the way that he pitched otherwise. You know, one hit. He gave up 4 base runners in 5 2/3 innings. He was fantastic. Chad Green came out of the bullpen, struck out 3 of the 4 batters that he faced. And Aroldis Chapman, a 1-2-3 ninth inning with 2 strikeouts. 12 strikeouts for Yankee pitching. Get used to seeing a lot of that. And 9 strikeouts for Yankee hitters, including 2 apiece for Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, and Brandon Drury. You don't mind that at all when, you know, when you're scoring 6 runs and you're getting 3 home runs. That's the trade-off that you're going to make in this lineup. That's what Ray Marcano wrote about in his opening day piece on Locked On Yankees, and certainly proves true. Actually, that wasn't Ray's opening day piece. That was Ray's piece earlier in the week about the strikeouts and home runs. They're going to strike out a lot, and you just have to live with it and hope that it's just not too many and that there are enough home runs to override it. And in opening day, you know, there's enough home runs. Stanton hit 2, Brett Gardner hit 1. Judge not on the board yet. So Gardner with the home run advantage over Judge, as I think we all expect to carry on through the season. Gary Sanchez was in the mix as well with an RBI double. Only guys that didn't get hits were Didi Gregorius, who did draw a walk, and Tyler Austin went 0-for-3 before he came out. Tyler Wade then came in, played some second base, and he was 0-for-1 in his one at bat. So, positive day. You know, Brandon Drury and Neil Walker both get hits in their Yankee debuts. Stanton, obviously, the big story of the day, and we'll get to him in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you that if you want to advertise on Locked On Yankees now that the season has begun, you should. Why wouldn't you? Send an email to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. That's lockedonnyy@gmail.com. All right, let's talk about Giancarlo Stanton, the man of the hour, and those 2 home runs. The first one, second pitch that he sees as a Yankee from J-Hab. And we don't know Stanton as a guy that really goes the opposite way much. And when he hit that ball, I thought it was, you know, maybe going to be a double, maybe just a flyout. But that thing was struck. You know, 117 mile an hour exit velocity on a ball to the opposite field. Just a monster blast. And it didn't even look like he got all that much of it. Boy, did he get a lot of it. He got all of it. So if that's how it's going to be, you know, he says, I feel sorry for the baseballs. Yeah, I can see that. The second one was just a titanic blast to center field, dead center. Just missed going into the WestJet flight deck in Toronto, and how apropos would that have been if it had made it there? He still got 3 more games in this series to take shots at that thing. So there's that. And the double that he had, the RBI double, was ripped as well. What we are going to see is that when Giancarlo Stanton puts his bat on the baseball gets moving. And right now he's on pace for 324 home runs. He's got a 2600 OPS. He's batting 600. And yeah, you know, 4 RBIs on opening day. That puts him on pace for 648 runs batted in on the season, which would be a record if he gets there. In fact, he can slow that pace down a little bit and still set a major league record. But what the other thing is that we really do need to talk about here is, and I will play this for you, it is from John Sterling on, of course, WFAN, calling Stanton. Stanton,
the National League MVP last year, swung on and drilled to deep right center field. It is high, it is far, it is gone! It is first Yankee at bat. Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo. It is a Stantonian home run, a 2-run blast to right center in his first Yankee at bat, and the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
Now, did you get that? Did you enjoy that? Did you find that to be a little bit strange the first time on your ears? Well, Stanton hit another home run, so let's go back to John Sterling.
I didn't know it was that easy.
It'll be a 3-2 to Stanton. swung on and into the air to deep center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. His second home run of the game. Giancarlo Nocipo Fedmarlo. It's a Stantonian home run to dead center. A solo shot. And the Yankees take a 6-1 lead.
Nocipo Fedmarlo. I don't know what that means in Italian. I have not looked it up yet. I assume that perhaps I should look it up. It just sounds like... It doesn't even sound like anything, quite honestly. And it makes no sense. It's like Giancarlo sounds Italian, so let me make up something that... I just can't get behind this one. Giancarlo Stanton is not Italian. Like, he has an Italian-sounding name. That's it. He is not of Italian descent. It's bizarre. It's really weird that, like, this is the thing that John Sterling came up with. He had months to come up with anything that he so chose. And this is what he went with. I will say I appreciated Susan Waldman, like, mid-flight with the "oh wow," because on that second home run, that was an "oh wow." And that's we'll talk more another time about the... I feel like I need to have a guest on this show to really effectively talk about the ins and outs of the Yankees radio cast. I know that we've got people on staff here at Locked On Yankees who have thoughts and opinions about this. So maybe we'll just have like a whole roundtable deal at some point where we really get to the bottom of what we're dealing with here on Yankees radio, because I enjoy listening to John and Susan, and I enjoy them on just a level of entertainment. I think that if I was a real into it for the pure baseball of it, I would not be able to stand them. Because I do find that quite often I'll be listening to a game on the radio and I will then come home and turn on the highlights to see what the heck they were talking about when it happened, and find that it didn't really entirely match the description that I heard on the radio. So I understand where people get annoyed, and I understand all of the bombast that comes with Sterling, especially. I get it. I get why people don't like him. I don't feel the same way entirely. I'm listening to have to enjoy, and especially if you're in the car, they get into stories that are sometimes weird and sometimes interesting. Anyway, Stanton just mashing baseballs, and I want to get to something, because this is something that as an editor, Miranda Kalish wrote a really wonderful piece for our opening day package about Aaron Judge, and you should go check it out. It's on the site, Locked On Yankees, and the headline is "Aaron Judge Barrels into 2018, Ready to Bash Away Talk of Regression." And this is the way that it ends. "With Stanton around both to learn from and to team up with as a 1-2 punch, there's reason to believe Judge will not show serious regression this year. In fact, he may even improve." Now, I just to peel back the curtain on editing a tiny bit, we had a discussion about this, about whether in a piece that was really heavy on numbers and sabermetrics, whether Miranda really wanted to talk about lineup protection as far as an impact for Judge. And I kind of came down on the side of, you don't really want to do that. And having seen Stanton in one game, and yeah, it's just one game, I feel like, as much as lineup protection is poo-pooed by the statistical community, I feel like it's one of those things that's not 100% easy to dismiss. And this is just my own opinion, and I think that it was the right call to not put it in as specifically lineup protection, that they are a 1-2 punch, and that they can feed off of each other that way. And there may be times this year when Judge hits behind Stanton. We'll see. But when you have this guy on deck in Stanton, he's posing, like, there's not a lot of guys who this would apply to. But if you're facing Aaron Judge, and you know that if you let him on base, you know, if you walk him, you're going to deal with Stanton with no open base. And you know that Judge, and this is part of it where you're your own lineup protection, because Aaron Judge is such a patient hitter. And how many full counts does Aaron Judge get to? How good plate discipline does he have? I know that he strikes out a lot, but he doesn't swing. And this is something that's in Miranda's piece as well. This is her words. Judge is also relatively successful at refraining from swinging at pitches outside the zone, posting an O-swing percentage of 25.7% last year. O-swing percentage is a percentage of swings at pitches outside of the strike zone. So you're dealing with a hitter in Judge who doesn't swing at pitches outside the strike zone. He doesn't chase. So you have to throw him strikes if you want to get him out. He'll miss a lot of them. He does swing and miss, but he doesn't chase. There's a difference between that, you know, between swing and miss and chasing. You have that, and then you have a guy of Stanton's caliber behind him who you know just destroys baseballs. I do think that there is an element there that is going to result in Aaron Judge seeing pitches to hit, because I think that pitchers are going to be necessarily a little bit cautious, because they know they can see that guy standing in the on deck circle, and they can see the guy at the plate, and they know if you don't deal with one, you're going to have to deal with the other, and you don't want to walk him. So if Judge sees more strikes, and that means necessarily more fastballs, I think he's going to be successful. And you see that on opening day, Judge goes 2-for-4 with a double and a walk. 2 strikeouts for his 2 outs, but he was able to get the bat on the ball twice, and both times, base hits, a single and a double. So he's off to a good start. Stanton's obviously off to a great start, and things are good in Yankee land after one game. So also want to tell you that you should be following Locked On Yankees on Twitter, at Locked On Yankees, and you can find Locked On Yankees on any of your podcast distribution services, your iTunes, your Stitcher, Google Play, Player FM, Podbean, you name it, Spotify. We are on there. And if we are not on there, send an email to lockedonnyy@gmail.com or tweet. Your choice. Let us know, because we'll get it there. We want this in your ears, and you know, obviously you're listening to it now, so it's in your ears somehow, but we want to make it as easy as possible for you to get this show how you want, when you want. So let's do that. And yeah, now we can move on to the mailbag. It's Mailbag Friday. Always glad to have Mailbag Friday. And let's see what we're starting off with today here on Mailbag Friday. That would be, first question is from, I just had it up and now I put it down. First question is from Steven Tidings, at Steven Tidings on the Twitter machine. Steven asks, over under 72.5 homers for Stanton. Well, that is an interesting question. He's obviously on pace for 324, we know that, and he's not faced the Baltimore Orioles yet, so there's a chance that he could increase that pace, maybe shoot for 400. So I guess that would be taking the over. I feel real shaky going out on the limb to say that he's going to hit 73 home runs and tie or break Barry Bonds' record. It's really hard to see that happening. He's got 2 after one day, but if we get to, like, if we get to the All-Star break and Stanton's got 40, let's talk then about how realistic it is to see him breaking the all-time record. I just can't see it, because it's so hard to do over the course of a whole season. But, you know, he's got Judge in front of him, and Judge is on base a lot. He's got Sanchez behind him, you know, another guy that you don't necessarily want to deal with. And I know, you know, we just had that whole lineup protection discussion. I think Stanton to Sanchez is a little bit different than Judge to Stanton. But guess I gotta take the under, but I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm taking the under with a grain of salt. You know, the grain of salt being, we can discuss this later. Because I don't want to say that it's impossible for him to do it, because it is possible for him to do it. You see the kind of run that he went on in the second half of last season with the Marlins, when something clicked for Stanton down there. And that's what won him the MVP, is, you know, the fact that he hit 59 home runs last year. And you know, you remember when McGwire hit 70, that was coming off of a year with the Cardinals, and not just with the Cardinals, it was the year that he was traded. Mark McGwire was traded from the A's to the Cardinals in the middle of 1997, and he wound up leading the major leagues with 58 home runs that year. He hit 34 with Oakland, he hit 24 with the Cardinals, and that was 24 in 51 games with the Cardinals that year in 97. So he went bonkers hitting home runs that year. And he had hit 52 in 96, so he went 52, 58, 70. But it's the crazy thing that in 97 he led the majors but was not the home run champion of either league, because Major League Baseball is silly. So I think that it's interesting that McGwire did that, building on it in a way that Bonds really didn't. You know, Bonds had other big home run seasons, but never anything approaching that. You know, and obviously Barry Bonds is the all-time career home run leader, so he had to have hit a lot of home runs. But you know, Bonds hit 49 in 2000. His lead up was 37-34, and the 34 was in 102 games. So he was starting to ramp up in 99. And then 2000, he hit 49. And 2001, he hit the 73 and set the record. So I think that there is there's a possibility of it for Stanton. And I don't want to dismiss that. I don't want to say that it's a total 0%. And I know that, you know, when you ask a question like that, over under 72.5 home runs, you're looking at, you know, a little bit of comedy there. But it's not outside the realm of possibilities that Stanton could do it. I think there are crazier things that you could come up with as a question of things that might happen. And our other question today is from Vicky Rex. And at Vicky Rex, she asks, I think she, shouldn't be assuming, Vicky Rex asks, what are your opening day traditions?
You know, it's a funny thing. I don't really feel like I have opening day traditions because, you know, you start out going to school and, you know, games are in the afternoon on opening day. And then after school, it was work, really. I mean, like, you just go seamlessly from one to the other, really. And even working in sports, it was still work days for me, and special work days because baseball was back, and I was, you know, going to the office to work in the newsroom of the Daily News as a copy editor, and knowing that I would be doing work on baseball and opening day. Whereas once I became a hockey writer, you'd be in the middle of the playoff push and you'd watch the baseball you can. I guess that my opening day tradition, you know, and working in baseball, you're actually working in baseball, so it's just being around opening day. So I don't really have any opening day traditions that I would think of other than just being happy that baseball's back. And I am happy that baseball's back. I'm happy to be doing this show. So come on back next week, and we'll enjoy it, and see you next time.